It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. On April 7th, Wisconsin will elect a new state Supreme Court justice to fill the seat of Rebecca Bradley, who is not seeking re-election.
There are two candidates on the ballot in the officially nonpartisan race. State Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar, backed by conservatives, and Appeals Court Judge and former Democratic lawmaker Chris Taylor. Liberals currently hold a 4-3 majority on the court, which would become a 5-2 advantage with a Taylor victory.
Both candidates recently sat down with PBS Wisconsin's senior political reporter Zach Schultz to talk about the race and the issues likely to come before the state's highest court. We're going to hear both of those conversations now. Here's Zach with Judge Maria Lazar.
So let's start with your judicial philosophy. How would you describe it, and how does it guide you from the bench?
I describe my philosophy as originalism with a slice of textualism, which means, for those who are not law nerds like me, which means that I look at the documents and the laws as they're written, and I interpret them from that point of view. And if you have to go a little bit outside, I do, but I don't go all the way outside to intent of legislators and things like that.
So obviously this race is now an open seat because Justice Bradley decided not to run again. What was your first thoughts when she announced she was not going to do that?
Well, it was a surprise. My thoughts were that I looked at the last election and I thought that it was so politicized for the people in the state of Wisconsin that I thought they actually could use a judge or a justice like me, who's someone who is calm, judicial, has the experience, and will not legislate from the bench.
Has she given you any guidance? Have you reached out to her about what it's like to run for Supreme Court?
I've talked to several of the past justices. I've talked to anyone who will talk to me, and actually more people talk to me than you would think.
How much money is going to be needed to win this race?
I'm not positive on that. I know it will not be anywhere close to last year.
So in what way? How is this different from, I guess, the last two races when control of the court was up for grabs?
Well, that's one thing. I think what I meant by it not being anywhere close, I think the numbers were bigger because it would have changed the composition of the court. This time we're talking about a position that is going to be most likely in the minority, but someone who will stand up to be a strong voice for the common sense people of my home state.
So some of the early fundraising totals came out, and you raised about $200,000, your opponent close to $2 million. Some people raised their eyebrows at that, but you got into this race after her, and you're trying to, fight your way into a kind of an oxygen-starved environment when it comes to fundraising. So what's it been like for you?
Well, that's true. So I started on October 1. So I think the numbers actually are relatively good for starting that late. Also, since January, which was the cutoff date, January 1, we've had a big groundswell of support from people who've recognized and actually heard about this race and realized there is no primary. And they've looked at it and they've said, this is a race and a candidate they're interested in supporting.
So when you look at the last two elections, has that impacted morale for the number of people paying attention to this race, or perhaps for people getting behind your campaign and seeing, well, the last two conservative candidates lost in rather large fashion?
I don't know if it's impacted morale. What I will say is this. I think that the state of Wisconsin is looking at these races and they're asking who's running and why people are running and for what reason. And when I look at this race, the reason I am running is because I want to be someone on that court who represents the law for the state of Wisconsin. I want to be someone who is their voice, bringing diversity of thought and judicial backgrounds and experience to that court. I don't look at those past races as anything indicative of what's going to happen. In fact, I'm kind of hoping that there's going to be a line in the sand drawn now where we can look forward and say, who's the better judicial candidate? Who has more experience? And I think in this race, it's pretty clear that that's my candidacy.
When you compare the records of the two candidates here, you're both circuit court judges. You're both now in the appellate court. So how do you explain to the public the difference in your background?
Well, numbers. Numbers are the reason. So I spent 20 years in private practice. I spent 5 years at the Department of Justice representing the state of Wisconsin. But I spent 7 years on the circuit court in every branch, criminal, civil, juvenile, mental commitments. My opponent spent 2 years in criminal. I've spent 4 years on the Court of Appeals, published many written opinions. My opponent has spent 2. I think when you add up the numbers, it's pretty clear who has the judicial and legal experience.
Obviously, there's a pretty high-profile race for governor also kicking off right now. When we talk about that oxygen starvation of people paying attention, how do you cut through to let people know, hey, this race is really important?
Well, you're right. So my race is April 7th, and all the other races are in November. I think since I've been on the circuit court and the Court of Appeals, I have continually gone to my 12 counties and anywhere else, including Milwaukee, to talk to people, to talk to high school kids, college kids, about the courts, about why it's so important. And I do that all the time. So I think this is just a continuation of telling people why this race is so important. It's in April because it's nonpartisan, and it's in April because that's how Wisconsin the legislature has determined it should be.
We've seen in the past couple of races, candidates talk more about their own personal values versus issues. And that's a change compared to races in prior decades. How are you talking about your values versus issues? And what does that mean to the public when they're listening and they want to hear maybe more clues to what you actually feel or how you might rule, even though that's obviously not what you're supposed to be talking about?
So you mentioned two things that are really important. So how I might rule is never an issue, and no judge, no justice, no candidate should ever say that. But we've looked at the rules and we've looked at the ethical rules, and we've determined that it's possible to tell the state of Wisconsin more information about where I stand, what I stand up for, and what issues I believe are important, and how I view the law, how I interpret the law, what my philosophies are. So on my website, you can go there, judgemarialazar.com. You can go there, and it has my positions on important issues that are set there, written in black and white, so people can see it, can see what I stand for. I don't say how I will rule on a case, but I say what I believe is important.
Is that frustrating when you speak to people that are potentially voters who they want to hear more? They want to hear you talk like a politician because they think of these races more political as opposed to an independent judicial race.
They do. And in some respects, I'll go places where there will be politicians speaking. And it's always that interesting dichotomy between the calm demeanor of a judge versus the politician who's yelling at the room and screaming at everybody. But I think that's what people want. They want their judges not to be someone who's yelling with their hair on fire in the room. They want someone they think they would like to have adjudicate their cases. So when I go and talk to people, I explain to them that I can't tell them how I'll rule on case A versus B. But I do tell them, here's how I rule. Here's how I respect people in my court. Here's what I think of victims' rights. Those sort of things, I think that gets across to people. They recognize that there are certain limits and that we're bound by those limits, or we should be.
When it comes to precedent, you've mentioned a couple of times that if you win, you would be in the minority.
Yes.
But that's not a forever thing. As we've seen, the court can change. What is the standard when it comes to overruling precedent?
Well, so people have to understand that precedent means that you don't, just because the court changes composition, you don't necessarily go back and then revisit things you've just done. Precedent is that you respect, you give stare decisis. It's a credit and it's a benefit to cases that have been done, and you give them time to maybe err, to be looked at. When courts have overturned precedent, the U.S. Supreme Court in general, it's something that's maybe 20, 30 years down the road. It's not something that they just do willy-nilly, as Scalia would say. It's something that you have to have seen that it doesn't work. You can't just say, I'm now the member of the majority, so everything that was done, I get to undo. That's not how courts work. We need to restore the respect and integrity in those courts and have them move forward and not always be looking back to things that they want to change.
And finally, will you seek Donald Trump's endorsement? We saw Brad Schimmel go out and ask for that towards the end of his campaign.
I'm not seeking endorsements of anyone who's out of the state of Wisconsin. If someone looks at my campaign and they agree with my vision, my idea that we need to restore justice and integrity to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, I would welcome the discussion, but I'm not seeking anything.
All right. Judge Lazar, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
That is Judge Maria Lazar, candidate for State Supreme Court, talking with PBS Wisconsin political reporter Zach Schultz.
Zach also talked to Lazar's opponent, Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor. Here's a listen.
Let's start with your judicial philosophy. Tell me how you came by it and how it impacts you when you're on the bench.
Well, in every case, I'm guided by the same things. I'm guided by a desire to do justice for the people who are in front of me. I'm guided by a obligation to apply the law as fairly and as consistently as possible. And then I'm also obligated to hold those who violate the law accountable, regardless of who they are or how powerful they are. So those are really the three principles that guide my decisions in cases.
So you've been in this race for a while, and originally your opponent was going to be the incumbent Justice Rebecca Bradley. What was your reaction when she decided not to run again?
You know, my focus really is on the people of the state of Wisconsin, regardless of who my opponent is. I am in this race because I care deeply about the people in our state. They deserve a justice and a court that is going to stand up for their rights and protect their freedoms. And they deserve a court that is going to make sure that the other branches of government are held accountable, including the federal government, when they overreach into the independence of our state. So I'm very focused on getting to the people, talking with the people. My approach doesn't change based on who I'm running against. This is a campaign about the people of the state of Wisconsin. I'm going to be a justice for the people of the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, building off that, then, you don't see a big difference between Rebecca Bradley and Maria Lazar, your opponent now?
You know, I think they're very similar in a lot of ways. They have very extreme positions that are out of touch with the people of Wisconsin. On reproductive health care, my opponent Maria Lazar celebrated the overturning of Roe versus Wade. She has made comments that she would have enforced an 1849 criminal ban that would have outlawed abortion in almost every instance. She has made comments that she thinks a six-week abortion ban would be a good thing, signaling to the legislature that this might be a law that she would be okay with as a judge. So those things indicate that she cannot be counted on to protect rights and freedoms of Wisconsinites, and she wants to take us backwards. I want to take the state and the people of the state forward.
Given the last couple of races we've seen in Wisconsin, how much money do you think it's going to take to win this race?
You know, I'm hoping not as much as what we have seen. It has gotten ridiculous how much money are in these races. And when I was in the legislature, I fought against the erosion of our campaign finance laws. The reality is here in Wisconsin, we have very little laws that prevent these out-of-state billionaires and big money special interests from coming into this race. They're going to be coming in to support my opponent. That is how she got elected to the Court of Appeals. These same right-wing billionaires that we saw last April have supported her in the past.
The first fundraising numbers that came out showed you with a commanding lead in fundraising. Is there a danger that some of your supporters may think, oh, this race is over?
I hope not, because this race is not over. We are right in the thick of it. I take nothing for granted. I worked very hard to get out in all corners of the state. And, of course, my campaign worked very hard to raise the resources that I would need out of my, I think, 19,000 campaign contributions. 15,000 of those are $100 or less. So I am receiving a lot of support from the people of the state of Wisconsin. That contrasts with my opponent. Her average campaign donation was $1,800, and she only had 16 donations that were $100 or less. So she's clearly getting her support and will continue to do so from the billionaires, from the big corporations. I'm going to the people and asking for their support, because this race is about them.
Unlike the last couple of races, this one's not going to likely determine the majority on the bench. Does that run the risk that this flies under the radar for some people because they don't feel the stakes are as high?
I mean, I don't think so, because the majority on this court can be changed on a dime. We have five state Supreme Court elections coming up. And so just because there's now a pro-democracy majority on this court by only one vote does not lessen the importance of this court. And when we have so many elections coming up, there's four more state Supreme Court elections coming up after mine. no one should take anything for granted. This court can change very quickly. But if I am able to get elected, there will be a pro-democracy majority on the court until at least 2030.
A couple of years ago, when Janet Protasiewicz won her race, she kind of changed the game in terms of talking as a candidate about her values versus issues and making sure to stay away from how she would decide, but explaining to voters, this is what I care about, this is what I'm passionate about. How do you approach talking about your values or issues?
Well, I think it's really important that voters see who I am. And they deserve that. They are electing me to a 10-year term to the highest court in our state. So I am very open about what my values are. You know, I value every person's ability to make their own personal private health care decisions. My opponent does not. She has stated that. That is not a value that she has. I value courts protecting people's rights and freedoms and holding people and entities accountable when they violate our law and violate our Constitution. My opponent has shown that she is a rubber stamp for the most powerful and the right-wing extremists in the decisions that she has issued. And so I think it's really fair game for the public to know these things are things we value.
How do you approach precedent? Because we've seen, as the court shifted majorities over the last few years, a number of cases looking at old cases that had been settled in the past, Mark Lyne being one of those. But in that category, what would you do to when you approach a precedent decision?
Well, first of all, you have to look at, does the precedential case violate the Constitution? Does it protect or take away people's rights? So that is the first thing that I would look at. Secondly, I think if it is an issue that involves in constitutional rights, you look at, well, has this been in place for a long period of time such that people have relied on these protections, like Roe versus Wade? It's a perfect example. The Dobbs case took away rights that American women and Wisconsin women had come to depend on over the last 50 years throughout the duration of my life. And so that was very alarming that it was so flippantly done. 50 years of precedent. Again, that conflicts my opinion about Roe versus Wade, conflicts with my opponent who celebrated the reversal of Roe versus Wade. So what I look at, though, in looking at precedent is, did this case comport with constitutional protections or did it not? So there is appropriate cases where precedent should be overturned. I mean, look at Plessy versus Ferguson, the separate but equal. We all know that is wrong. And thankfully, there was a case that overturned that type of discrimination in Brown versus Board of Education.
You're running for a Wisconsin Supreme Court position, but how much of what's happening nationally and President Trump's impact will overshadow this race as voters take all of that into account when they're making their choices at the ballot box?
Well, look, I think that we have an incredible opportunity in this race, the people of the state of Wisconsin, to elect a justice who is going to stand up for their rights, for their freedoms, who is going to hold the federal government accountable when they overreach into the state. And I'm going to protect the independence of Wisconsin. We are an independent state. We have our own constitution, our own laws, and everyone is subject to those when they come in the state of Wisconsin. So I will be a strong justice, making sure our people are protected and our state is protected.
All right. Judge Taylor, thanks for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
That was Judge Chris Taylor talking with PBS Wisconsin's Zach Schultz. Earlier, we heard his conversation with conservative-backed candidate Maria Lazar. The two face off in the April 7th election for an open seat on the state Supreme Court.